The scripture we're reading today is from 1 John. There's a small series of books, small series of little letters of which John wrote, and really reemphasizes again from the Gospel of John the love that God has for us, and he reminds us. They say that when John, who was the only disciple who actually died of natural causes finally in the end, the rest were martyred, and not that he was not martyred, John was lit, was boiled in oil and survived. They say that he was the one that was caring for Mary, Jesus' mother. We've been there, been to the spot and the site there, and that they said that he would come in his late 90s, and he would preach the sermon, four words: my children, love, five words, my children, love one another, my children, love one another. And that was the words he always used. So that's what he's talking about today, is when we remember of whose children we are and the way we act. You know, I act differently when I'm around somebody I love and cherish. Do you? You know, if you don't think so, did you act different when you were around your grandparents as opposed to your parents? Yeah, you're better when you're around your grandparents. That's why we should have waited until we were 45 to have children. But we didn't. So let's look at this passage today, and let's do some remembrance. So here's what John says: see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called not angels, but children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is they did not know him. All right, so dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. In other words, those who have this hope in him, we become the people, the pure people of who he calls us to be, just as he was pure. Just as he kept his eyes on his Father, so do we. So, brief message today, and God's greatest message is what we're going to be able to do is receive communion together. Gary Heaven, I don't know if you know that name or not, was teaching a workout group of a class of about 100 women. And then he realized, as he looked around and he scanned the faces of all in the crowd, he was looking for the face of his mother. And he said, that was when he said, I had an epiphany. It all made sense of everything. And he had realized what had been driving him all of his life and what was his destiny to be. And that's what we want to find. What is it that we're supposed to do? All right. So the story, if you want to read it, comes out of Chicken Soup and everything. It's a great story as I read and find stories. But this one is, they ask him, is how is a man, did you so become so committed to improving the quality of women's lives? And you know, he did this at age 20, but he didn't realize it until he was almost 40 years old, that what started him down this path. And here's the story that took place. Here's how he tells it. He says, one morning, and at this time, this story was written when he was 40, he said, some 30-something 7 years ago, he said, I was awakened by the sound of the passing school bus. And that was odd for him. He said, he was 13 years old. He was at his home with his two younger brothers and their mother. And her name was Doris Joy Heaven. And that's H-E-A-V-I-N is the way it's spelled, right? And she just turned 40 years old. But she was a very committed mother of five. But she also suffered a lot of emotional and physical problems in her life. The physicians that treated her, they had placed her on an array of medications, and nothing seemed to be able to help. And then that morning when they woke to the sound of the school bus passing, his brother Paul came in and said, you need to come in here, Mom's sick. And he goes in and he reaches and he touched her and he felt the absence of warmth. And then he reached down and he grabbed her to hug her to check in to see, but also that one last embrace. And then he said, and I gathered my two brothers around me, and I told them that Mom was now in heaven, okay? And what he says is her premature death was unnecessary. The high blood pressure and all the other things that caused the blood clot was unnecessary. The symptoms were medicated, but there were some other things that could have been done. They could have treated the blood pressures, he said. And so with proper exercise and nutrition, and it could have almost alleviated a lot of these, of the hypertension and chronic diseases. And we know this. And doctors do the very best they can, but we, you know, it's kind of like we have to help ourselves with this. Now, here's the rest. That's Paul Harvey. Now, the rest of the story. Okay? All right. So, Gary Heaven and his wife, Doris, are the founders of Curves. It is the world's largest fitness franchise. More than 1,000 centers worldwide, 9,000, sorry, 4 million members. Is growing as fast franchise, according to Entrepreneur Magazine, okay? And through his outreach of what he does, more than 30,000 people are employed by him, and 90% of those are women. So in 1976, you see Gary had completed 3 years toward his pre-med degree when he realized that he could have prevented the onslaught of the deteriorating health and illness of his mother by teaching her proper fitness and nutrition and weight loss. And he opened that first fitness class at age 20. Good day. All right. You see what happens is there's a tragedy, and he comes, and so he said, I was sitting out there, and so I'm doing all this of what we're doing and all the people that you work with, and I think you're going to like the touch of the message today. As we, you know, why do we come? Why do we get around certain people? Why certain people do we kind of gravitate to? Why do we sit in certain sections to look out and see other people this way? I think, like Gary, we come scanning the faces of the crowd looking for the face of our loved ones. And today, that's what we're doing. On All Saints Day, we remember those that have died in the past year. Now, here's the term: All Saints Day. It's a religious year. It's All Hallows Eve. It comes after Halloween or whatever, and it's the November 1st. And that's what we do, is when we remember all of those that died. It's a great history. You can go back and do that. I was going to put that in here, but that would have made the message 7 minutes longer, and I thought I wouldn't do that to you today. But most of the time you hear this about saint. You know the way I greet y'all, good morning, saints, and then good morning, sinners, and then everybody responds. Most of the time, have you ever heard this? Somebody says, hey, would you be a saint and go in the kitchen to get me a cup of coffee? You ever heard that? You know, hey, would you be a saint and go to the grocery store? You know, so is a saint an errand person, you know, to run little tasks and everything? Actually, here's the part about saints. Most saints are those who have had significant influence of Christ in our lives. That's who most saints are, okay? Not those that Jesus spoke of or whatever in flowing robes and everything and the people that sat on the very front of the rows and everything in religious places. Most saints that I know are those that slide in kind of under the radar, okay? And it's only usually upon their death and their loss that we realize our see better or better see their impact. You agree with me? See what I'm saying? It's all, you didn't realize how much they did, their presence. It's almost like some of them, it's like that soup. You know, you have that soup and that one spice is missing. It's really good, but that one spice, you know, what is it? What's missing, you know? That's what it is. It's almost until they're gone that they're not there. This First John passage of what it says here is he talks about folks and he said, and this is great, he says, not yet will be. In other words, this is not the whole story. This is not yet what we will be. And it says, that's the presence that I feel this morning that still impacts my life. That I know I'm not quite yet what I shall be. And I know one day he's going to show up and guide in my life in that way. And I'm going to be fully of what I need to be. And that's why, to me, it's all of this of all those. That's why it's so fitting, I think, today as we stop and we go back and we give thanks to God for those who have been in our lives and we speak their names. I think it brings honor to him. Don't you think, if you had some issues with another brother, sister in your house and your mom and father was there and y'all made up with each other and forgived each other and they called and you heard each other's name, do you think that would please them? How much more our Heavenly Father when we do this? And so that's why I think it's so wonderful. And that's why we come. So that's why we come today. So when I look, when we come, when I see the creativity of an individual, and I hate to do this because I start calling some names, everybody's going to say, well, when's he going to use my name? Okay? But like when I see the creativity, Margaret Ligon painted a bunch of the things that were out here yesterday for last week for the carnival, all the stuff, really well. When I see that creativity, I remember my friend Glenn Gray. He was one of my best buddies. He died of elephant's man disease. He had it internally. But just one of the most creative guys I ever met. That's when I see that. That's where I see his face, and I come here and see it. When I see someone walking around these halls that's laughing and smiling and having a good time, I think of Kelly Nelson that was at a church at Prospect. And it reminds me, he was one that his son was accidentally killed by somebody shooting around a bus like this past week that we heard. And he says, I see that every day, but this man had the greatest joy. Whenever I see somebody who does that, I think of Kelly, okay? When I see a person who takes care of small, tedious matters and lives a life of hope of resurrection, I see the face of Sandy Burden every time when those that walk that way. That's what I come in when I see people live like that. When I see a person who comes to a table and brings joy and laughter and friendship and fellowship that wants to have everybody come in, I see the face of Nancy Crawford. When I see the radiance and brightness of somebody who can preach and the joy and the vibrancy, I see my friend Paul Dana, who I named my child after. That's what I see, that I keep looking for that, and I see it in those places. When I see that somebody who even just reflects, and I look and see those that served in military, and they come here and they're close to their spouse, I see my father-in-law, Bob Smith, every time. When I see a man's man, you know what I'm talking about? Man, I see David Harris. He was a man's man. When I see the influence of a smiling face and a warm, healing touch on somebody that might be going through a difficult time, I see the face of Donna Martin. When I see a service, especially a small little group gathering with elderly, and somebody's sitting there and they're tapping their hand like this and singing all the words of the hymn and they know them by heart, I see Shirley Self. Do you know at her funeral she had 6 hymns lined up for us to sing? She made preparation. I mean, she had them all lined up. Had like 3 or 4 preachers, you know, lined up for that. So she liked that. So when I see a person who lovingly and tenderly gives diligent care to their aging family members, I see the face of Harriet Wade. And when I see lives that are changed from tragedy to triumph by the mystery of God, then I see the face of whoever Gary Haven is. I see the face of Michael Rhodes. I see the face of Seth Stapleton. And God turns that around. And that's why I come. And I think that's some of the reasons we do what we do, is we see the people of those saints in our lives, okay? This place is where we see the beautiful faces of our loved ones. This is the place that we come because we realize there is more to living, and we continue. This is where Christ appears in the lives of others. D.L. Moody said this, great Bible study scholar and preacher. He said, in a few minutes, they're going to come in here and tell you that I'm dead. He said, don't you believe it. For I'll be alive more than I've ever been, because I'll be in the very presence of God. In various ways, the people have contributed to our lives and our personal relationship with the Lord. Each year, it is fitting and honorable to remember those folks of the congregation and of Madison First United Methodist Church in our lives who have left our world in our ranks and have gone on to be with the Lord. And so in an act of gratitude, what we're going to do now is to be able to do that, is to thank God for his children. And by the way, and you are free to express yourself in whichever way that you want to be able to do this. What we're going to do is this. I've asked David to assist me in this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the name, okay, of the individual. And these are the folks that died here. And I'm going to read the name of the person. And then I'm going to light the candle. And then a moment, the light is that aspect that is a symbol of hope, you know, because in the darkness it shows our way. When we ring the bell, it's kind of that symbol of remembrance, and you hear it. It kind of resonates with our soul. And then we're going to observe a moment of silence. And so if you wish, you're welcome to stand. You can say their word again. You can pray out loud. You can do whatever you want to, okay? It's just your way to respond. I'm going to light one for each of those. Then the seventh candle, we're going to light that maybe you've had other people in your family or someone's close to you that you would like to remember. And so I will light that candle, and maybe you would like to say that name or whisper and out loud or not, and you're more than welcome to. And maybe see their face. And then David will ring for that. And then the last one is maybe still there's some that's died, maybe more than a year, maybe a long time, but for some reason it would bring honor to speak their name. And we'll do that. And then from there, we're going to move our way into communion. And then as you come by, you'll be able to look at these lights, you know. And it's so beautiful, you know. You know, a child is beautiful, but when there's a candlelight that's glowing in their face, and he said, you are children of God. So here's what their faces look like. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb and the sitter of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. As we come by, may we receive communion in a way to where maybe others see the face of Christ in us the same way. And here they come. If you were in a bad mood, you're out of it now, aren't you? So as we do this with your children, instead of me doing it, because they're not going to really listen to me. Well, actually, they probably listen to me more than they listen to you, but that's okay. Explain to them why we're doing it when we're remembering the name and hearing the bell and the toll and how special it is. Okay. So we're just going to go through. We did this alphabetically, so that's how we're going to do it. So do you understand what you can do? Speak the name, stand, whatever. So these two candles represent the full divinity of Christ and the full humanity of Christ. In all his ways, he was like us, yet without sin. Sandy Burden. Thank you, Sandy. Okay, Nancy Crawford. David Harris. Please. Donna Martin. I still say every time I see the Grinch smile, I think of Donna Martin. What a contagious, thank you. Please. Harriet Wade. Sweet lady. Please. And now we light a candle for maybe those that you have had that have died this past year, and we take that moment that you may speak their name out loud or in silence as you wish. We're not in a hurry. If you spoke a name and another one was spoken at the same time, feel free to speak the name again. This last one we light is always those that there's times that's very difficult. They say after a year you should be able to, I don't say move on, but you should be able to carry on. And at the same time, it is a moment that calling their name is really good because they're still so much a part of us. So if you have had those that have died in years past and you wish to speak their name because they were a saint that happened to fall underneath the radar, God would be honored in that. Fantastic. Would you take your litany, please? Will you open up to the very back page where our order of worship is for the 9 o'clock service? Woo. Will you join me in this prayer together? The Lord be with you. And let us pray. Oh God, you gave us birth. You are ever more ready to hear than we are to pray. We know our needs. You know our needs before we ask, and our ignorance in asking. Give to us now your grace, that as we shrink before the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. Speak to us once more your solemn message of life and death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days here are accomplished, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying our life may be in you, and that nothing in life or in death will be able to separate us from your great love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us, whom we name in our hearts before you. To all these grant your peace. Let perpetual light shine upon them, and help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last with them into the joy of your home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask those communion servants to come. I'm going to allow you that time now to be able to read through the litany. I'm afraid we are in a time restraint aspect, but as you read that and as you see, you are invited now to be able to celebrate Holy Communion. As you come by, I hope that you will look with light and you will remember those at the table. These are the great gifts these baskets of bread and juice are those in remembrance of every time we come that they've gathered here, and now they are with him. May that bring you great hope today. This is the body and blood of Christ that is given for you. You know, it's in the crushing. It's in that pressing. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, that's what it means. Gethsemane was where that pressed on the grapefruit, pressed on that olive, and it brought out that very precious oil. It's in those pressure times that make us who we are, and it'll bring forth the purest of blessings. Part of the service I wanted to do, and I'm glad we're finished a minute or two early, before you leave, there is a part in our litany that says, after the Thanksgiving, and just before the great Thanksgiving, it says this: now let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. If we have had moments where we need to bring about reconciliation, we need to extend love, that we need to bring the walls down, we need to bring the fence, the border away, so that we can reestablish it. That's what this meal is about. Because every one of these, don't we wish we could have gone back just one more time, and what would we have said? We wouldn't have corrected. We would have said, I love you, I appreciate you, and I want to be with you. Before you leave today, may that be the signs of love and reconciliation. And may when you go out that door, may you make at least the effort to do so with those that you love so much, because there's no better time than do it to now. Be a saint. Go underneath that radar and bring him God's presence. God bless you. You're dismissed. Love one another. Peace. Reconciliation.